previously on Thomas and the Bible. I was almost defeated by the podcast and the time commitment, but I was rescued by you brilliant fans. That's what happened. That's right. It was like an action movie. I was hanging off a cliff, and I was reaching out my hand, and I said, you know, no one was going to grab it. And then at last, a group of people led by John P. grabbed my arm, pulled me back up off the cliff, and now they're making me read a Bible. Okay, the analogy doesn't really work, but that's... Thank you, Harley, for that amazing intro. Yes, I am back. This is the first of an absolute, completely, totally on-target weekly Thomas and the Bible series. The series is born anew. I now feel it worked. I now feel so obligated to do this show because of the kindness you guys have showed. That there's no question. I will make the time. I'll make it happen. I'll make it better. Unfortunately, the Bible still sucks, but I'm going to do what I can. Oh, man, I have so many people to thank. And I wish I didn't have this many, but I'm going to go in order of date that they started. So, yes, we reached the goal, of course, as you know by now. And the people who got us there, Travis Peterson, Jace Browning, Joseph Hazelton, Tony Eels, Kevin Lynn, thank you, thank you, thank you. David Vander Vlies, John P. Okay, well, John P. I gotta make a note about John P. He's of course the hero of the show. I made just for fun a $20 level where whoever does it would get to pick if we change translations once we get to the New Testament. I figured might as well finish the Old Testament, but I just did it. Didn't know if anyone was gonna do that. And John P. snatches it up. So it's up to him. The translation is in John P.'s hands once we get to the New Testament. So start lobbying, everyone. I wonder what he'll decide. That's provided he sticks to that, of course. But he's John P. He's sticking to it. All right, Jeff W. I'm just saying people's names. I don't care. It's public. It's a matter of public record. Anyone can go and find this online. Jeff Williamson. William Jan Van Zeist. Lee Primesberger. Of course, the fun part is that I can't pronounce anyone's names. Of course, I'm thanking everyone right now, and then my top supporters I'm going to thank every show because you're the best. So don't worry, you'll get extra thanks. For now, it's just everybody who came through it all. Colin Robinson, Brian Gerfort, Jeremy Sharp, Heriberto Kentu, Darren Bennett, Chris Gill, Emily Smith, Matt Hiller, Shane P. Singleton, Marcel, Guillaume Berube, Mike Price, Daryl Keyes, Richard Goldstone, Ginny Powell, Jim, Mike Shells, Robert Carmody, Tom Chambers, Kaz Bailey, and Cregan, and James Hepler. That's it. That's everybody. I thank you so much. I can't even express. It was weird. It was going a little slow, and I was like, all right, this podcast's dead. Oh, well, I guess I don't have to do it anymore, you know? I was sort of, like I said, I was 50-50. Either way, I was going to find the upside. So the upside to no one caring was more time for me. But I'm all upside. I don't care about downside now. The upside to this is I'm just blown away by you guys. I'm looking forward. I'm excited about the show. I really want to make it better and I just really want to pay you back for the kindness you've shown. Okay, quickly, a few other Patreon announcements, because I figured it would be cool to keep the goals going. Yeah, sure, we reached one goal, but I thought let's put some other goals in there. So $200, and these are, I could add more, and I could add more benefits too if I think of anything, but $200 per episode. If we get us there, I'm going to redo the theme song, but I'm going to keep the essence of it. Like it won't be a different, it'll be the same song, but like a cover version by a better band. It's been so long since I recorded that piece of crap that I'm so much better at production than I was then. And I'm more at my disposal, and I just figure it could be fun to make a newer version of it. Ooh, maybe, oh, I know, maybe I could do it at the New Testament. How much longer do we have until the New Testament? Let's check. Check my trusty spreadsheet. Oh, wait, no, I don't have that written down in my trusty spreadsheet. God damn it, trusty spreadsheet. Failed me again. Okay, I think we're pretty close. I wouldn't want to, like, rip people off, and if we reach that goal, then wait forever. But I don't know. But that could be an interesting decision. So yeah, I want to redo that song. Maybe it'll take time, but I figure that's a cool little goal. I don't know. It's not going to blow anyone's mind, but I'm just trying to think of stuff I can do to kind of keep drawing in the donors, because of course it's really great for the show and great for me, and I love it. 250. If we get to 250, I'll release an extra episode per month, no charge. Any extra episodes, no charge. Don't worry about that. So going forward, it's 4 episodes a month. You don't have to worry about, you know, no matter how many bonus ones I put up, only 4 are going to be paid. That's how it's going to work. If we get to 325, I will do 2 extra episodes a month. And again, no charge. And if we get to the final goal of 400, at least final for now, maybe if I somehow get 1 million more listeners and we get there, maybe I'll come up with another goal. But for now, it's final goal. I will do 2 a week. And again, only charge for the 1. So that's where we are. I just wanted you guys to check those out. Even though we reached our $100 goal, but I encourage you, if you feel so obliged and if you want to help out the show, get a thank you, whatever your motivation is, I'd really appreciate it if you'd go on to patreon.com/TNTheB, check that out. Thank you guys so much. I'm blown away. So that's the best, and this show lives on. All right, now we're on to our reading. So today we are finishing up Proverbs, finally, and we're starting Ecclesiastes. And so I'll explain Ecclesiastes, but I figure, well, let's finish Proverbs first. So I'll do that. Quick drink of water. I should have gotten really drunk for this one. Celebration. Maybe I'll start a tradition, like once I'm finishing a book, I'll get drunk for that one or something. That'll be the tradition, because it could be fun, you know, mix up the monotony a little bit. I don't know. That's just an idea. Maybe not hammered, but you know, and then you guys just get drunk. I'll stay sober. I'll be your DD, your designated driver, and you guys get just totally smashed. And then you'll really love those ones. You'll be like, man, that's the last episode of every book is like the best. I wish you could do that all the time. But it will be you. It will have been inside you all along. All right. Proverbs 30. Let's hear some more terrible analogies. The words of Agur, son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. This is not what Proverbs has been lately. This is kind of weird. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? They didn't have, by the way, it sounds like they didn't have waterproof garments back then, because, I mean, we probably could bind the waters in a garment if we wanted to. Doesn't sound that hard. They're called rafts. They're called pool toys. I bet back then that was like a cool accomplish, that was like that to them was like perpetual motion or something. It's like, could you weave a garment so well that it would hold water and it would like stay in it? I don't know, I'm just guessing, maybe. Otherwise, what does that mean, bound the waters in a garment? I don't know. Or is he saying God is the one that did that? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Well, that should be good advice for the humans who wrote this book, right? They shouldn't add upon his words. So really, the Bible should just be the things God directly said to people, right? Because you can't add onto his words. So that's all it should be. It'd be about, I don't know, like 17 pages. I mean, he does talk sometimes. Most of it would be ark related, because if he told him how to build the ark, that took forever. I hope people know. I realized the other day, like when I say ark, because a lot of times I complain about the ark building, I bet people think I'm talking about Noah's ark, huh? Because like that wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, and imagine that's an ark that transported animals, people, did supposedly stayed adrift for months and had all these supplies. Yeah, it took a little while to build, a few instructions here or there, you know, something about cubits, you know, not a big deal. But the ark, just the little worshipy ark thing, the portable worship house thing that they made, took pages and pages and pages. I never thought about that before. But anyway, I should specify. But they're both called the Ark. So what is it? Ark of the Covenant, I guess, is why they say that. All right. Where was I? Add thou, yeah. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Ooh, I just remembered. I had a donor who didn't do Patreon, didn't want to do Patreon for some reason, but still donated to T and the B. And I wanted to remember to thank him. Ah, here it is. Jamie. Goes by the name of Jamie. Well, I guess it could be a girl. Probably not. I'm going to go with the odds. I'm going to go with the percentages and say it's Jamie, like Jamie Lannister. Yeah, Jamie donated and via the PayPal, which you can still do. I'm not going to take it down, but I mean, Patreon seems to be the main source now. But yeah, that's fine. I wanted to make sure to include him in the thanking. Oh, and that reminds me. I don't know if you saw my Facebook announcement, but I went back and I figured out the problems with Genesis 32 through 34 and Numbers 30 through 32. They were both not playing correctly. I don't know why it took me this long to figure it out, but I went back, tracked it down. I can't explain. The files were there. Everything looked fine, but I had to just like redo the enclosures, which I know how to do now. I kind of didn't really know how to do all that back then. So I figured that out. They are playing correctly. So for you dedicated fans who missed 32 through 34 of Genesis and Numbers 30 through 32, I think it is, you can now listen. Although I think they were on the website all along, so maybe people already did. But so those are fixed. And then, oh, I thought there was something else, but now I can't remember. Nope. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to thank Jamie and make that announcement. And we are back to the Bible. Where was I? Two things I have required of thee, deny them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Okay, this is not very Proverbs-y. It feels like a totally... Oops, sorry. Feels like a different author. To me, I don't know what's going on here, but, maybe it is. So he's saying like, feed me just enough so that, you know, if you feed me too much, I'll be like, I don't need God. I can do things myself. And if you give me, you know, too little success, then I'll be poor and I'll steal and I'll curse. So accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Yeah, it's called every generation. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy among men. From among men, the horse leech hath $2. All right, okay. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Grave, barren womb. So it's four things that are never satisfied, that are always wanting. Like the grave, I guess, they're never satisfied. There's always more people to die. The barren womb? I don't really get that one. Like, there's always more barren wombs. It's not really, I guess. I don't know. There's always more people. And so a percentage of them might have a barren womb, but it's not, it seems like it could only be decreasing with our technology. But anyway, the earth that is not filled with water and the fire. Yeah, fire can always eat more. Sure, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the point of this is. I'm trying to figure it out. Sounds pretty boring. The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear, for a servant when he reigneth, and for a fool when he is filled with meat. Well, someone's got to feed the fools, right? It's not, is it his fault he's a fool? For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Those all sound not that bad to me. I think this person's saying, like, the earth hates these things. It's like, well, a servant when he reigneth, well, that sounds like rags to riches to me. I always get a cough right when I record. Maybe it's my mic. My mic cover is like causing me to cough. Yeah, it's a little curious that, you know, for as much as America loves the Bible, this quote seems to go against the American dream. A servant who reigneth, a fool when he is filled with meat. All right, maybe we don't want fools to eat. I don't know. I want fools to eat. I mean, I don't want them to like run things, but, you know, I want them to eat. Odious woman when she is married. I don't really have much to say about that. And a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. That sounds nice. Sounds like a mistress likes her handmaid. Another rags to riches thing. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. What? The conies are but a feeble folk. I think he's just losing it. He's just, this is just nonsense. Yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in the king's palaces. There be three things which go well. Yea, four are coming, a comely in going, a lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any, a greyhound, and an he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Oh, there's another Proverbs? I thought that was the last one. Okay, Proverbs 31. This hopefully is the last one. I don't know. We're reading through Ecclesiastes 3, so yeah, let's hope this is the last one. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? It's not a good start to a prophecy. The words of King. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him no good, and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. Oops. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her husband, or to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. What does that mean? Merchandise, is that like, you know, her goods, you know, like her, yeah, my merch, you want some of my merchandise? Her candle goeth not out by night. Well, that seems to like a waste of candles. Just, that's like turning the light off when you go to bed. I mean, why do you want your candle to not go out by night? Does that mean, rich guy here with unlimited candles? Is that a sign of prosperity at the time? Like, dude, I got candles all day. I could burn two candles all night, not even care. It doesn't even matter. I could lay a bunch of candles end on end so that when it goes out, the next one catches on fire, and just circle it around my entire house, burn it all night, all day and night. Wouldn't even care. That's how rich I am. That's right. I got candles. Is that what that means? What does that mean? I don't know. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh violin selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looked well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children, yeah, the bread of idleness has a lot of carbs. Not worth. Try like a protein rich idleness. You know, you got to get a certain amount of fats in there too. But yeah, bread, you know, it's kind of empty calories a lot of times if you eat the bread of idleness. It's not the idleness that'll kill you. Idleness isn't that many calories. You're probably good to go. But yeah, the bread part. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Are we done yet, please? Okay, good, we're done with that. So we're done with Proverbs, which was boring. We're on to Ecclesiastes. Now, this one, we've heard such words. Job, we've heard praise about Job, you know, if you remember. It was like Job was supposedly the greatest work of fiction or something. Well, they, I guess they wouldn't have said that. Some author said it was like the greatest poetry ever of all time. And I've got to say, not in my top all of poetry. Not in my top poetry. Doesn't even come in last. It's outside of my poetry. In my top all of everything, the Bible is very low. So this one, Ecclesiastes, you ready for a blurb? Like, you know, when people blurb each other's books or whatever, and it's like, this book is blah, blah, blah. Thomas Wolfe wrote, "Of all I have ever seen or learned, that book to me seems to be the noblest, the wisest, and the most powerful expression of man's life upon this earth, and also the highest flower of poetry, eloquence, and truth. I am not given to dogmatic judgments in the matter of literary creation, but if I had to make one, I could say that Ecclesiastes is the greatest single piece of writing I have ever known, and the wisdom expressed in it is the most lasting and profound." Yeah, well, that's interesting. That's he's not given to dogmatic judgments in the matter of literary creation, but that, yeah, if you had to make one, he's going to make the ultimate one. So that's pretty, he's saying greatest piece of writing ever. That's what he's saying. And its message is like the most important message anyone's ever had. So that's what we're up against, guys. let's see how it goes. What more could I say about it? It's going to be pretty short. I think it's only 14 chapters, and it's just a guy who they think it's Koheleth, who might be a king, might be King David. No, sorry, might be Solomon, but it's anonymous, so they're not sure. And you know, these things are all composed after, and this was in the 3rd century BC, so. Who the hell knows? They're all after whatever time they're supposed to have been in, of course, pretty much. And so I don't want to say too much. There's a summary I could go through, but there's some interesting stuff I'm seeing in the summary, and I just want to say it could be good. Like, I don't know. Like, there's some interesting and by good I mean like an interesting message, something to think about. So that I'm very curious about that. That would be a first, like a good book, a good a good part of the Bible. So I'll have to keep our eye on it. And that got a lot of praise. You know, that guy went pretty nuts about it. So Ecclesiastes 1, and again, we're going through Ecclesiastes 3. The words of the preacher, the son of David. So that's why they think Solomon, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. This is like an intro or something. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever, parentheses, until the sun blows up, end parentheses. The sun also ariseth. Is that like the sun also rises? What is that? What is the sun also rises? I'm Googling it. The sun also rises. Isn't that a, it's a book, isn't it? I love sounding super ignorant. 1926 novel. Oh, great. Written by Ernest Hemingway. That's one of those ones I'm supposed to know. That's Hemingway. Oh, yeah, Hemingway. Yeah, Ernest Hemingway, of course. Yes. Pardon me. I mean, of course, it's Ernest Hemingway book. Yeah. Sun Also Rises. Yeah. So I'm an idiot, but I don't read. I don't read a lot of fiction. I honestly don't. Like none, actually, besides the Bible. That's about enough fiction for me. I read science-y books. So I have not read most of like all the great books that everyone is supposed to have read and pretends that they all know. Or maybe you all do. I don't know. You all do know them, and I'm the idiot. Anyway, the sun also ariseth is the proper quote, so from the KJV. So it looks like Hemingway was using a different sun also rises. Or no, it's the sun always rises. No, it is. Okay, never mind. The sun also ariseth. I wonder if it's from that. I mean, obviously, you'd have to change ariseth to rises, but there you go. The sun also ariseth, the sun goeth down, and hasteth to the place where he arose. Yeah, roughly, but as the earth goes around the sun, then, you know, it sort of changes. So that's another scientific inaccuracy. I know we're being poetic here, but just thought I'd point that out. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. I'm going to go ahead and guess that's not an accurate description of what the wind does, but again, you know, poetry. All right. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Yeah, because that'd be because of the rain, I'm guessing. Unto the, you know, evaporation, that sort of thing. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfying with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun. Wow. Is that where this comes from, too? Because, man, that's two for two on, like, quotes. No new thing under the sun. Yeah, Ecclesiastes. I didn't know that's where that comes from. Yeah, okay. This is pretty good so far. I mean, it's good writing. I mean, I'm just poking fun at scientific stuff, but it's no big deal. I know it's poetry, whatever. It does show that there's a couple parts where, given a modern understanding, I think they would have changed. It's not just, oh, it's just poetry. It's like, yeah, but you wouldn't say that still. You'd find a different poetic image given certain scientific facts, but that's okay. This is pretty good. I mean, nothing new under the sun. No new thing under the sun. That's pretty famous. I love that saying. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Yeah. To answer your question, quite a few things. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. That's like that quote. What is that movie? There's some movie where it starts with a quote from like 1897, some guy from the patent office is like, everything that could possibly be invented has already been invented. 1897, yeah. He missed a few things, missed a couple gadgets that he was wrong about. That sort of reminds me of this, and this reminds me of that, rather. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Well, sure, not a lot of television or no movies anymore. I mean, I'm tempted to write a work like this just about how every movie is a sequel now. It's Iron Man 7 or, you know, Avengers 4. I don't even watch all that crap, but I know you all love it. Everybody loves it but me because it makes millions of dollars. So must be most of you. But anyway, there's nothing new. Yeah, if he's talking about blockbuster movies, he's right. Couldn't be more right. But no, there's some new things. You know, quantum physics, that was pretty new. and other things since then. From between 300 BC and now, I can think of only quantum physics, but I know there's others. There's other new things. Yeah, no, most things from then until now. Anyway, maybe from his perspective, technology was not moving very quickly. So there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Well, wrong, because the internet and stuff, books, you know, like I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that had been before me in Jerusalem. Well, that's boasting a little bit. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Very interesting. So, man, I gotta say, I'm kind of liking this. You know, small criticisms, but there is a message here that is partially true. So interesting. I think I'll wait. I don't know if I'm using information that I got from reading ahead. So I think I'll wait on talking about that. But I gotta say, I'm kind of liking this. This is my favorite bit of writing so far in the Bible. I mean, it's not as fun as like Genesis. That's my favorite because it was so damn fun and just stupid. But you know, that's a different kind of good. So Ecclesiastes 2, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Well, I don't know, it's fun. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men. That's a hard, I don't know which thing has the emphasis there, but anyway, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So he's, you know, he's the king. He's been able to do whatever he wants, pretty much. He's been able to have more wisdom. You know, he's trying all these different things. He's trying wine. He's trying laughter. You know, he's basically experiencing whatever he wants as much as he wants because he's king. And he's saying that, meh. That's pretty much what he's saying. Meh. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. He sounds like a pirate, but he's obviously not. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water. I made me pools of water. To water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. And also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments of that of all sorts. So I was great, yeah, modest too. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw the wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool? God, that's another good line. How dieth the wise man as the fool? This is good writing, I gotta say. I'm really blown away. It's good. I mean, it's not godly, but it's good stuff. I'm enjoying this. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. That's a good one. He hated all his labor because he just, you know, you die and you leave it to the next guy, pretty much. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over my labor, wherein I labored and wherein... Yeah, so someone eventually, no matter what he builds up, a house, possessions, all that, someday he'll die and they'll go to someone else, and that person could be a fool. And wherein... There's a lot of fool hatred back then. People weren't fond of fools, but there you go. Hold on. And wherein I have shewed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. So anyway, he's going to give up everything, I think. For there is man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and a great evil. I don't know why it's a great evil, but I'm with him on the vanity thing, the theme he's going with. For what hath man of all his labor and the vexation of all his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrow and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Don't really agree with that. So there you go. For who can eat and who else can hasten hereunto more than I? Is he like really fat? I don't get that. For God giveth to a man, or he just has a lot of food. God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail and gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Okay. Ecclesiastes 3. This is our last one. To everything there is a season. To everything turn. Yeah. Another great quote. I don't know if that's from this. To everything there is a season. I'm guessing not. A time to... Oh, wait. Oh, shit. It is from this. Guys, this is crazy. I was just kidding. But that song, what is that? Turn. Is that what it is? Turn. The birds. Oh, maybe I can play some music for you guys. Ooh, I know. I'll give my high-tech setup. Insert audio track. Guys, I'm totally set up to be able to play music and record it on here if I want to. Just have to remember which track it is. I'll start playing it. Let's find this. If you don't know this song, I'll log into Spotify. I just was joking. Like, I saw a line. Because I do... That's one thing that I'm good at, even though it's worthless most of the time, is when I see something that's like something else, even a little bit, I can recognize it pretty well. And I just saw, what did I see? I'm sorry to boast or whatever, but that, I mean, that's a stupid talent I have. And I usually just use it to make stupid jokes, but, I just saw To Everything There's a Season. That's all I saw. To Everything There's a Season. And then I was like, turn. I'm terrible at lyrics, but I knew it was like roughly whatever it is in that. And so I go to turn, parentheses to Everything There's a Season, which is a song written by Pete Seeger in the late 50s, it says. And you guys surely know this song. And I see on the Wikipedia, it says the song and the final verse of the song are adapted word for word from chapter 3 of the book of Ecclesiastes. what are the odds there? I mean, that's a stupid question because the odds are, I mean, but isn't that, I don't know. I'm pretty proud of myself. I just saw that first line. I was like, oh, that's this song. So let's play it. Where is it? Turn. Yeah, you guys probably know this. Yeah, hold on. Let's find the right track here. That one. There. Okay. Everything turn. There is a season. So I don't even need to read the book because it's just this. A time to be born, a time to die. Oh, it is. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Oh. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to
read. To everything, turn, there is a season.
I don't need to read this. This is the entire book. Sounds funny. Let's see, how long is this?
A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to
It's not really the exact lyrics, but...
A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together.
Yeah, that's not really in the book, but... It's a good, catchy melody. Good harmonies. Why can't music be this? I don't even care if every goddamn song was from the Bible. If popular music was this. Now look, now I'm going to go on a tangent. I got plenty of, like, unpopular artists that I like. I've got plenty of music that no one knows about or fewer people know about. Yeah, I know, it's really hipster of me. Yeah. All popular music sucks. There's almost no good popular music. So, you know, I wish it was more like this. Because this was a popular song. Yeah. That's so cool. Okay, I'm stopping it. But yeah, that's essentially that. This Ecclesiastes 3. There you go. So that it's a time to love, a time to hate. I'll read it. I think I'm still going to read it. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. Oh, that was in there. Okay, I didn't see it. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Yeah, man, could have picked better language. I don't know, it's probably the translation's fault. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Yeah, I think that's the end of the part. That's that song. So I had no idea that song was from the Bible. I had no friggin' clue. If you did, then you're going to think I'm pretty dumb, but yeah, that was really funny. I'm kind of blown away by that. I had no idea, and I didn't even see the times parts. I just saw to everything. There's a season, and I started seeing. Anyway, enough of that. We're almost done. So I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised on it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, and he also hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Sorry, I'm just going to adjust something here. There we go. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Interesting. And every one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other one. Yea. Oh, this is keen observation. Yes, we're just like animals. This is great message. It's true. They have all one breath, so hath the man no preeminence of above a beast. For all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? This is a damn good bit of reading. I gotta say, sometimes I've thought there are like good snippets here or there, but this is damn good. I'm pretty excited about this. Good observations. I mean, obviously we're going to disagree on, it's not all for God, but it's interesting. Like if you live back then and it seemed like things were going the same forever, because right now in our modern times, it feels like everything's advancing. It just feels inevitable. Like everything is getting crazier and crazier. All the new technology in my very short lifetime, I'm only 27 or something. I've seen, think about the early 90s to now. Like it's insane. Everything just feels like it's getting insane. But back then, things were moving very slowly. Technology was virtually still for a long time, took hundreds of years for new technology. And that's interesting. So from this guy's perspective, it's like, yeah, nothing changes. I mean, everything's the same. You just live and like you die and then the next people take over. Like what's the point of any of this? The only point is, and it's so great because he's been a king. So he's seen even the top of the top. Like if you live your life, you can think, oh, if I had more money, if I had more this or that, like then I'd be happy. Then that's the goal. But once you reach that, you realize like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. We're still going to die. This is great. I really like this. And it's Ecclesiastes 3. So I think we have 11 more. So I'm not sure what happens in those 11. But yeah, I got to say, okay, this was one of my favorite episodes I've ever done. For multiple reasons. I'm excited about the show, but this reading is good. I like it. I want to tell people I finally found something good in the Bible. That song is hilarious. I had no idea that was that, but there you go. And thank you so much. I will see you 100% next Wednesday, unless you guys donate a bunch and I start doing extra episodes, but that's all up to you. So thank you so much for revitalizing the podcast, and I hope that they will continue to be even better and you will continue to enjoy them. So that's it for this episode. I will see you guys next Wednesday. Adios.